Go and turn in your Bibles if you want to. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. The title of what I want to try to say today is Wake Up Warriors. I hope the Lord will allow me and give to you the grace to understand that I'm talking to you and to me. But I don't really want to say what I got to say makes no difference. But the question is what God says. And I know you know that, but I want to remind us of that. Wake up, warriors. And I appreciate Brother Jeff Jones is bringing us a devotional about this day, Memorial Day, about the wars and about battles and about how it all plays out. Because that's how the world is. And that's how God has arranged things. And I appreciate Brother Jeff, not only in his ability and his gift of interpreting the Bible and his faithfulness to serve the church as a deacon, but also in his military career as well. I have been so blessed at the Statesburg Primitive Baptist Church to be around people, men particularly, that have served this country so well. And it's fitting on Memorial Day that we think of those. I talked to Judy over the text this week because I was studying. I got to thinking about Brother Cecil Hagen. And Brother Cecil was in the battle. And by the way, the prayer that's on your bulletin is a prayer that General George Patton asked a chaplain to arrange to send out to his troops just before the Battle of Bulge. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But Brother Cecil was in that same era, in that battle, and Brother Cecil was injured one day in the battle there in December on a cold day, and as you know, he lost his leg, one of his legs, and he lay there all day, and because of the enemy and because of the arrangements that he couldn't be moved, he was like injured in the morning, so he had to lay there all day, and he would have bled to death, except God sent a medic there to minister to him, and so Brother Cecil made it. Now, you would never know this from Brother Cecil Hagen, if many of you have known him in his life. He would not say that. One of the most moving moments for me in our foot washing service we observe here at the church during Easter was one night I just grabbed Brother Cecil as he came down the aisle. The men were going to wash feet. I said, Brother Cecil, may I wash your feet? And we went in the room and he sat down, and I had forgotten that he had a prosthesis. And so I dealt down with this man, and I was almost ashamed of myself. Brother Cecil, he said, that's okay, Brother Randy. I said, you lost a leg for this country, didn't you? He said, I did. And I said, I just want you to know I'm so honored to wash your foot. But then I tried to talk him how to wash in mine, but I couldn't do it. You know, it's hard for Brother Cecil to get down, but he did it. And it was good. Sister Judy shared with me some articles that were written about him. And so many others, I just think about that. But he was not one that talked about his wounds, but he was a warrior. And he took that into the church, and he served this church over his life. And his daughters and were motivated, and Sister Avis and the family by this man, and in his warriorship and his faithfulness to serve. And I think about men like Carl Hutchinson, Sister Charlene Clutter's brother. This man was a Green Beret. And I remember him sitting right where he sat in the back row of the church. And he never did say anything about that. I was in his house one day and visiting with him, and I was leaving, and in the hall I see a Green Beret flag. I said, Brother Carl, are you Green Beret? He said, yeah, I was. Or I am. I said, you never say anything about that. He said, well, I don't need to say anything about it. And I think of others. I think in the church, I've been blessed, and I know you have, with men that have been or Marines and airmen, Navy, Army, And so what a blessing. I just want to say that. And I think that sort of sets a foundation of what I want to say. But if anything will wake us up, it is remembering those that have sacrificed for us. Now, Brother Jordan brought that out well with the children. I mean, you know, Jesus sacrificed for us. That ought to wake us up. But because that is the only way that we're saved. And that ought to put the fight in every one of us. Or it does, I'm going to tell you that. But sometimes I think we ignore the fight that God's put in us. Because that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. But anyway, I wanted to say that because I believe that we're in a time, and I think we've seen some evidences of waking up. And I wanted to say to you as a church and to me as your pastor, you know, it's one thing to understand we have a responsibility. Because that's what a soldier embarks on, responsibility. And we all ought to have this mindset that we awake every day and that we fight the good fight of faith. That's what God says it is. It's a fight. Now, nobody likes to say fight, you know. We don't want to be fighters. We want to be peacemakers. And we ought to be peacemakers. But you know what I mean. I mean we're to be fighters in for what's right. And it's not like the fighting of carnal battles. We have a spiritual warfare going on. And we have a culture warfare. We need to fight. We got to fight ourselves and this world and the devil. Now, my friends, that is a battle that's going on. And I want you to know that Christianity is a contact religion. Okay? You do not do it half speed. I remember when I tried to play football, you don't go around on that field during the game half speed. You will get your head knocked off. You got to understand that religion, Christianity, if you're going to follow Jesus, it is a contact religion. And if you think you can just lolly by and you just can't get involved and you don't want to offend anybody and this is this, that, and the other, you're going to have another thing coming. Because we need to see the urgency. And I think the church, we need to see that as a church, as a Statesboro Primitive Baptist Church. Are we in this fight? Well, what is the fight then, preacher? The fight is truth. The fight is really to promote the glory of God. It's not about trying to defend our doctrine. I'm going to tell you this. You can be aggravated and you can say you're not going to have anything to do with an Arminian if you want to, but you're going to be in heaven with lots of them. What we need to understand is we need to be about carrying on the fight of faith while we have breath in our life, while we can walk on this earth. You know, just yesterday I was out in my little garden and I don't know, it's just not doing right this year. Sometimes life just gets like that. You know, that's kind of like a marriage. You know, it's kind of like a garden, a church. It's a special place that's set apart for a special purpose. And it brings fruit. But I was thinking about that at that little garden. I mean, the weeds is kind of coming up. I got kind of discouraged. I almost said it in my wicked moment. I'm not going to fool with it anymore. And then I got to thinking, you know, my little grandchildren come out there sometime and the first thing they want to say is, Granddaddy, I want to go out to the garden. And that's right. You know, that's what you fight for. So I'm just going to say, I'm going to get some more weeds out there at the garden. I'm going to keep on fighting. And you need to do that in your marriage. I'm going to tell you, if you're married today, you need to fight for that marriage, to stay married. If you're single, you fight to stay single. Maybe that's how God's arranged it for you, okay? I talked to a young Christian mother the other day. She said, you know, our house is a battlefield every night. I mean, that's true. You can't deny that. Don't you think that everybody's life is just hunky-dory and everybody just, I'm going to tell you what, God has given you His Holy Spirit and there's a wages of war starts right at that moment. And we're going to see that in a minute from God's Word. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a fight that's worth it. Turn with me to Exodus. I asked you already, hadn't I? Well, in Exodus 17, the Israelites are battling Amalek. Now, Amalek means warlike. Amalek was hated by God, and God never forgot it. Amalek is a, I believe I'm right, a great grandson of Esau. But he was a man that sneaked up on Israel in the backside when they were weakest, and he slaughtered a lot of them, women, children, and all. God never forgot it. But the Amalekites were all a part of the Old Testament. You know, David fought them, Gideon. I mean, right on. I mean, this is an enemy. And you got to deal with them. Now, they had a purpose, and God has a purpose for giving you the battlefronts of life that you've got to fight. But here's the deal. You got to wake up, and I'm going to wake up. And we better get at an understanding that we are responsible. God has put people in your life that you are responsible for. You hear me? No, you can't save them eternally. But we need to understand that God has given us children and grandchildren and church friends and people in our lives and husbands and wives, and we're to understand that we're responsible. We're responsible to be to them. We're not responsible for them, but we are responsible to them. We are. And we are dependent on God in that responsibility. You might say it like this. Here's a warrior. Awakened warrior says this. Everything depends on me. I depend on God. Now this battle that I'm talking about for you and I to wake up is you personally. One of the sorrinesses we got in our world today in the United States of America is we pay people to fight for us. And I'm going to tell you what, when I think of people like Cecil Hagans and many others, that is a part of the greatest generation. There'll never be a people like that again. Many of them lived through the Great Depression and two world wars. But I'm going to tell you what they did. They provided a nation that you and I can be happy, we can have freedom. It's the greatest nation on the world, in the earth that's ever been. Because people like that were motivated to take the responsibility and their call of duty. And they were drafted into it. They did it and they kept doing it. And there were wives that were waiting home when they didn't even know where their husbands were or if they'd ever see them again. But they were praying and they were nurturing their children. So I think about this warlike mentality. And I'll tell you, that's one reason. When I see protesters in the streets and the sorriness exampled in America, I'll tell you what, I think of people like Brother Cecil Hagin and others. It makes you sick to see how many people today belittle this great nation and the freedoms that have been preserved and that have been fought for and blood has been shed for. And it is no accident that you and I have a church this beautiful with people like this to be around. Man, my goodness, we ought to be thankful. I'll tell you, it reminds us this Memorial Day, but in this battle with Amalek, you know the story. It's where they were outnumbered, but Moses goes up on the hill and he holds his hands up. And that's emblematic of prayer. And as long as his hands were held up, see, Joshua was there too. He was doing the fighting. So as long as Moses' hands up, Joshua's fighting, the enemy stayed. You remember also Moses' arms got so tired. He had to have Aaron and Hur on each side to hold him up. And so we see the power of prayer, but it doesn't take out the fight. That's what I want to get to you. Even though Jesus died on the cross and won the victory in over the devil, death, hell, and the grave, the Bible says. We do still have a battle going on. We do. And we will until this life is over. We will until Jesus comes back in the final battle of Armageddon. But until then, we're to be warriors. We're to be awakened to the need and the vigilance of staying awake for God. And again, I want to make sure we understand, I'm not talking about fighting for ourselves. Sometimes I think we just fight for our pride and we don't even realize it. What we need to do is fight for God, okay? And it's hard sometimes. Just the other day, I had a fine young man. I thank so much of him, and he was going to do some work for me. And I said, well, when are you going to start? And he says, well, I can start tomorrow. This will be a Sunday. And I said, well, on Sunday? And he says, well, I'll go to church in the morning, but I can do it tomorrow afternoon. I just walked off from it, but later on I texted him. I said, you know, I'd rather you not do this on Sunday. Now, that's hard to do. You see where I'm going with this? That made me look I'm better. I wasn't no better than that guy. I think he's a better guy than I am. But I had to tell him that. Yeah, I mean, there's a time you got to fight for what's right in your life, even though it goes against the grain, and it will against the world. I didn't know if you'd ever do the work again. I didn't know. But that's all right. What I did know is what God says about Sunday. Do you? I mean, seriously, are we awake to what God has called us to do? A soldier is ever listening for the commands of the superior officer. That's what they do. And that's what we're to do. And it shouldn't be about how we feel. See, we can't be a soldier about if we just the times we feel like it. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil's greatest tool is discouragement. And you're not going to win every battle. I told that young mother the other night, I said, well, you're winning the war. Sometimes we lose some battles. And so we got to fight. We got to press on. We don't feel like it. You know, when I was in basic training at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, I had a drill sergeant who was not so concerned about my feelings. He did not really care if he offended me or not. I remember one day, in inspection, he looked at my boots and he said, Waters. He didn't say private, or he didn't say elder or mister. He said, Waters, it looks like to me you have shined your boots with a Hershey candy bar. I mean, you say that to people today and they'll say, I mean, you just talk about people in life. I mean, you know why the church has lost her power in so many spaces? We don't really care about telling anybody. We don't even about ourselves. We can just do anything. We need to understand we are warriors. And you can see a soldier, I don't care if it's at Walmart or Jim and Nick's or Country Corner, where you can tell a soldier when you see one. You can just tell it. And so God has done something to us, said that we are soldiers. Now the deal is, are we going to be sleepy soldiers? Are we going to be awake? Are we going to be ready and willing to do what God's called us to do? And lots of times, it's nothing but standing still. But in this case, there was some fighting going on. Now, here's the verses I want to read. I'm actually going to start at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. God's serious with this deal. This is a generational thing. That's what sin is. I want you to see Amalek and sin, the correlation there. Verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. which means God is my banner. God is my banner. See, that's what we're fighting for. We have the glory of God at stake. Now, God has a banner over us too. Song of Solomon chapter 2, I think it's verse 4, he says, I went out into that field and I found an apple tree, into the wood, he said. And in that apple tree is Christ, emblematically. And he says, I sit down under the shadow of that tree and I tasted the fruit and it was sweet to my taste. See, there was a banner, and his banner over me was love. The banner God has over you and me is love. And I'm going to tell you, when you love somebody, you fight. You fight for those you love. You fight to defend the faith of the one that died so that we can go to heaven and be with him and that our sins are all forgiven. And then verse 16, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Okay, now I don't have much longer this morning, but here's what I want to say right quick. First of all, I want you to see the fight. I want you to see the necessary fight. If you're going to wake up, we're going to see what the fight is. We're in a fight. We're in a fight, the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Go read it when you can. What fight means? There's a conflict. Why is there a conflict? Because once you're born again, listen to me now, you have a conflict. You have two people in there. You have two natures. Go with me to Galatians 5, and let's look at verse 17 right quick. Could you do that? Galatians 5, verse 17. Look what it says. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Do you hear what God say? You have a conflict. You have a battle. The battle is the Holy Spirit. You have two natures. You have a nature that is sinful to the core. I've still got it. You're still got it. This confuses a lot of people. We're still sinners. We still are capable of committing gross sins. Okay? God, though, by the Spirit, there's a nature of us that cannot sin, that is holy. That's the Holy Spirit. So these two are going, they're going on a battle going on. There's a fight. That's why when you sin, you are convicted, aren't you? You feel guilt. And when you're tempted, you say, I struggle. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a battle. That's how it is. Thank God that you have two natures and that sin does bother you. But my goodness, you got to fight. Don't give up. Don't give up. You are a warrior. And God has equipped you to deal with that, what he's put in front of us. He says in his word, there's no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God, with that temptation, has also provided a way of escape. But here's the deal. We got to fight. I like to think about it like this. You go into Psalms, and you know the familiar one. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And we kind of take the context of that off sometime. I know I have. I think about, well, God is going to build the house. He's got to do it. No, he says they labor. These people are still working. They're still fighting. He said they that keep the city, he says they watch in vain. Unless the Lord keep it. See, that is how you and I, remember this with me, and I'll try to remember it with me and you, that everything depends on us. But we depend on God. Now that's what happened here, because God is our banner. And we need to be ever reminded that we're dependent on Him. And that's why we have to deal with conflict. You understand that? You understand that when God brings His people to the promised land, they never had this conflict in Egypt. They now have freedom. See, that's what happens when you're born again. That's when it all comes unglued. You know, we don't be reminded of that. I was thinking the other day, I wish I knew how to get in touch with Vic Lowry. This young lady that got baptized a few weeks ago, I have tried to get in touch with her. I don't know how. Here's what I wanted to do. I forgot to tell her that the devil would be coming after her so much now, more than he did before after she's baptized. I wanted to warn her. I remember my brother getting baptized, and I remember the preacher standing there on the porch. And my brother said to the preacher, "Well, maybe the devil will leave me alone." To which the preacher replied, "Son, he will come after you now more than ever." That's what the devil does. See, there's a conflict. But God gives us spiritual armor. Ephesians 6, you know it all. There's all the parts of armor, the helmet, the shoes. I thought about this morning, putting on my belt, a belt of truth. Am I going to preach the truth? God forbid I don't. Or what about the breastplate of faith and the helmet of salvation? You gotta saddle up every day to be a warrior. See? You think God give us that armor for dress rehearsal? He did not. Hey, we get confused with the church sometimes. The church is not a social club. It's not a place you come to see how many activities you can join and how many people are like you and what all you can do. It is a soldier's barracks. And I know again, and this hurts me sometimes. I preach on the best people in the world. But I'm going to tell you something. If your preacher doesn't offend you sometime, he is not faithful to God's word. I promise you that. It's all right to get offended if we need it. And I need it too. And we got to use God's word to deal with it in our ways. But so anyway, they are here. And that is now to better understand this fight. And maybe this is all the place I get to today. But look, you got Galatians open, haven't you? Look at chapter 4 in verse 22. Again, emphasizing the two natures. You got to identify the enemy first to be an awakened warrior. Verse 22, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by bondmaid and the other by free woman." And you know, of course, that's Ishmael and Isaac. As believers, we are like Isaac, promised children, born out of the barren womb of life, so to speak. But look at verse 29 of chapter 4. It kind of sets it about a little clearer. "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuteth him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now." That's enough said. Don't you think? I mean, don't you think that clears it up? You and I got a battle going on. So you got to fight. Now the battle's going on whether you fight or not. But here's the deal. What's at stake? The stake is the glory of God. Maybe some little child out there that God has blessed you to nurture. You keep fighting the faith. You teach them how to pray. Because you know what? I'm talking about not the weapons of warfare. This is not to be bitter and to go out and try to beat somebody up or get in some sort of fight. No, no. This is not to be angry. This is to love somebody. This is to understand that warriors have flaws. God has put you in the army. You say, "Well, I've done this." Hey, you don't have anybody else to choose from. Everybody has a flaw. Everybody. But that's what God uses. They make the best warriors because they understand what God has done and what God can do. That's why David fought Goliath so valiantly and won, not because he had all the armor, but because he knew that God had been with him against the lion and the bear on a previous occasion. And he was able to take on all odds to be with God like he was. I want you to say with me, they had faith. And we see that from Moses. I don't know. I don't have enough time this morning, but tonight I can finish it. So waking up and being warriors is prayers. I believe you all are praying people. I know the power of prayer in this church. It's been amazing to me. But that's what happens. That's why we need to. You can't pray if you're asleep. You can't pray diligently if you don't understand the urgency. You can't. And we need to understand it's pretty urgent. Then we pray. General George Patton. And I don't know, I never read his biography, but what I have read about him, he didn't seem to be just a kind of a softy, pushover kind of guy. But one thing about it, he knew his troops needed something that he couldn't give them. And they were about to be involved in probably the turning point battle of World War II, the Battle of the Bulge. What I read about it was this, that it had been raining for days. It was so wet and muddy and skies so gray, the U.S. had no air power. The soldiers couldn't do anything. They were just in their barracks, in their tents, just sitting around. And General Patton called a chaplain by the name of James O'Neill. He says, "Is everybody praying?" And O'Neill said, "I don't think so." Patton said, "I think you're right." He said, "Because when men are fighting, they are praying." Now, I want to say this. If you're in a battle right now in your life, in your marriage, in your work, with your health, with problems, I guarantee you, you're going to be praying. But if things are pretty good, or just things are just so hopeless, you just can't feel like you can do anything, there's a good chance you might be sitting around like these men. And that's what Patton said, they don't pray. You know, there's a saying, and many of us don't know what foxholes are. I've never been in one, but some of you do. There's no atheists in a foxhole. And there's no atheist. People, when they're in the battle, you're going to fight. You're going to pray. Because you can't fight unless you're praying. And you're going to be awake to pray. Got it? And Jesus had a problem with that with his disciples at Gethsemane. You know, they all went to sleep. He said, "Can't you stay awake for 1 hour?" I think he could say that to us. We need to be understand. We need to be doing more praying. Because that's where our help comes from. So Patton had this chaplain write up a prayer. He said, "I want you to write a prayer." And do you see it? Do you see what it says? I supposed to have it somewhere. Well, I don't know where I put it. It fell off my bulletin. I don't know where. I must have lost some of my bulletin. Do you see it? Linda, I'm sorry. I just ain't much of a warrior. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry. That's just like a preacher. Mess things up. All right, here's the prayer. Now, what he did, this chaplain made this prayer. And Patton, General Patton, commanded them to be given to all the soldiers. They printed 250,000 of them. Okay, 250,000 on the back of a Christmas card. This was about December 23rd when all this was going on. Cold, wet, gray. Hopeless. Listen to what he says. "Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to restrain these immoderate rains with which we had to contend. Grant us fair weather for battle." Notice he didn't say, "Lord, just make this enemy go away." He says, "Lord, let these skies clear so we can fight. Graciously hearken to us as soldiers who call thee that, armed with thy power, we may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies, and establish thy justice among men and nations. Amen. That's a powerful prayer. 2 days after that, Hitler attacked. A few days after that, the weather cleared. And one soldier, in a quote of the article I read, said, it was the brightest, most beautiful sunrise he'd ever seen in all of the war. What a day for killing Germans. And I don't mean to say killing Germans was all that good. What I'm saying, that when you like about sin, when God gives us the clearness of knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that we have His Spirit, I'm going to tell you, we ought not to miss an opportunity to kill every sin that comes up in our life. Because we got them, and we need to deal with them. And that's where the victory is in Christ, and He's at stake. And so we're to have this in our lives, and we thank God for it. Now, in closing, we need to put our confidence in God. That's the only thing we can do. But what a blessing to understand this. In Ephesians 6, I did want to close with that verse, and I'll let you go right after this. Here it is. And it's regarding the armor that is about to be given, the spiritual armor, which obviously the context is fighting. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what prayer does. It gets us to God. That's where our power is. When we have flaws, we have weaknesses, but God says, in your weakness, that's where your power is. When you don't think you're going to make it, when you think things are just going upside down in the wrong way and everything's against you and everybody, you hang in there with God. I mean, if you think you're to your last rope, just tie a knot in it, see? I mean, that's fight. You keep on. You press on. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the day, or in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I mean, it's here. Are we awake? I mean, no telling what we could do. I believe God, you know, we have heard of revival, spiritual great awakenings that have happened in this nation, but I believe that could happen any time. And may the Lord bless us. And He has to do it to wake us up. You know, I read a devotional somebody wrote this week. I forget who it was, but they gave this illustration in this bus somewhere. No, it was a park bench. A lady had some flowers. And so a mother and her child was sitting across the way. So she had a little girl, this mother did, with her, maybe 3 or 4 years old. So the lady took a little flower over there to offer the little girl. And the little girl just didn't make any response to it and couldn't. And the lady just kind of let her put it up close to her and they could smell it. You know, it's a rose, I guess, or something. And then the mother said, lady, thank you for your kindness. But my little girl is blind. She can't see. And she gave her the flower anyway. That didn't take away for her act of kindness to do it. But that just, I say that spiritually. They are people that you and I love. They are people that we want to help. And that's what a good soldier does. But God's got to open the eyes. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you give us, even in the battles of our life. Lord, keep us fighting for right and good and give us strength. Sometimes we do feel like quitting. Lord, sometimes our defeats are just mounting up that we just wonder if it's worth it all. Lord, we know that's the flesh, though, and we are aware that we have to deal with the flesh. If I didn't have to deal with Randy, I'd have a lot better way of doing your will in my life and having more joy. But I know, Lord, that through Christ, you have the upper hand on all of us. That is our victory. And even though, Lord, we plead our case, you have called us to be soldiers in your army, flaws and all. Lord, you have equipped us. You have given us the armor. And you have given us the battles. And Lord, we pray that we might be faithful, that we might be willing to rejoice in your goodness and grace so much that it motivates us to share it with others, that we would be so in love with you and you are so real to us that, Lord, we want everybody to know how good you are, how glorious your salvation is, how perfect and pure your promises are. So, Lord, help us to have sharing faith in the midst of the fight and the battles of our life. Lord, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And we thank you for it. Let him come out now, Lord, and shine, Jesus, shine. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.